And there you were chair from 89 to 93 and chief executive officer of the American Stock Exchange. Mm-hmm. Tell us the difference between the American Stock Exchange and the New York Stock Exchange.
Well, the New York Stock Exchange had more of the big companies listed on it and traded on it. The American Stock Exchange had historically catered to the mid-sized companies, the smaller companies. There were a few big ones like New York Times and Washington Post and the company that owns CBS. There were some large companies, but mostly it was mid-sized companies. And then the American Stock Exchange had a particular niche in derivative products, particularly options.
The major challenge for you then as chair was to grow the exchange, or what were
the
challenges?
Well, the exchange had been losing market share. Arthur Levitt had been chairman and CEO of that for a number of years and had done a magnificent job. But the American Stock Exchange had been losing market share, particularly in the trading of equities. So my job was to find different ways to reverse that trend and to increase market share as well as increase overall trading activity, i.e. derivative products and things like that. So we beefed up the so-called financial engineers. We got really bright people. We were the first ones to introduce something called ETFs, exchange-traded funds. And the first one was called the SPDRs, the S&P derivative product called SPDRs. These financial engineers came up with all kinds of financially engineered derivative products. And the best thing I did there at the exchange was when a product or an equity is traded, as the chairman CEO, I have to sign that and send it to the Securities and Exchange Commission, and they rubber stamp approval. But it's my responsibility for making sure it's done. I took that very seriously, and even when the general counsel and the CFO had gone through it, I read each one of those. And one time, they presented the product to me to be traded, and I read it, and I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand how the investor was going to get anything out of it. Olivia is the smartest person I know. I took it home that weekend. I said, you read this, and you tell me what you think about it. She couldn't understand it. So on Monday morning, I got all these financial engineers in my office, and I said, now, fellas, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I'm damn sure not the dumbest. If you can't present something to me that I can understand and believe in, we're not trading it, period. That was the smartest thing I ever did to keep us out of trouble. And if you flash forward to a few years ago, when they had all these esoteric products that helped bring the market down, these mortgage-backed security combinations, et cetera, I asked a board member of one of the major financial institutions, how in the world did the CEO approve of trading that? He said, well, you know, we asked him about that once, and he said, well, I don't understand it either. Well, I thought to myself, if the CEO doesn't understand it, you shouldn't be trading it. You shouldn't be operating on it. To admit that you don't know it all is really a very good lesson.
Yeah.